Thank you very much. As I was preparing this, there is some kind of cheat sheets out there. There's a book that will give us scriptures and give us music, and sometimes I'll look at that, and luckily there's three or four different options. The first one I thought I was going to preach on this morning just didn't feel comfortable. So the second one kind of came together. And Gil and I were talking a little bit ago that the devil seems to want to put in our mind just before we get up here that maybe that's not what you're supposed to talk about, or maybe is it all about you instead of someone else. So I truly believe that God was the one kind of asking me to do this, so we'll kind of see where that goes. Jesus calls the first disciples. In verse 1, on one occasion, while the crowds were pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting on to the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let the nets down." If you look at the geography of where this was at, it's kind of interesting. They tell you today that if you go there today, you can actually stand there and talk to a large group of people in just a normal voice. It was a normal kind of a shape like an amphitheater. Of course, Jesus knew that, and he used the fact that he went out into the sea just a little bit to use that as a way to project his voice. Was Jesus there to bring the message and teachings to the masses? Or was he there because Simon and some of the other people were there? Was it time for his friends of Jesus to make a much deeper commitment by giving up their careers and following Jesus full time? I try to think back as a former business owner. You know, Simon had partners, and they were just business owners in the fishing business, trying to do the best they could, making a living. They worked hard, sometimes day and night, to do the best that they could for their family and grow their business. They spent hours and hours and hours trying to do everything that needs to be done. What would have happened today if I had heard about someone that maybe is different than the rest of us and bringing a different message, that walked down maybe on Oak Street in Sweetwater and said, "I want you to leave your job. I want you to follow me. Become fishers of men." What would we do today? Might call 911. Reminds me of my personal life and career of how many times we try to do something, it doesn't work. What do? We quit and we don't do it again. Jesus was asking them to try it again. What have each one of us given up lately? As was stated, we have a number of people on a walk to Emmaus this weekend. A walk is a spiritual experience or retreat designed for people in all walks of life. They spend 72 hours having what I like to call a personal experience with God in a very group setting. Those that have been part of a walk are asked to encourage others to attend. Just like many of us church members, we are supposed to be inviting people to attend our church. Do we do the ask and done, and when they say no, we just kind of give up? What are we risking by being afraid of asking? I can tell you that I was asked many times to go on my pilgrim walk and said no so many times. I can also say that I finally said yes, and today I'm a different disciple because of that opportunity. When we choose to stop asking, we deprive those around us of the glory and grace that we've experienced. How many times have you heard that you may be the only face of God that someone sees? Don't quit. God is depending on each one of us. What changed you? What is your walk to Emmaus? What can we do as disciples to provide the opportunity to someone else? If we quit, we're just not quitting ourselves. We are quitting being the disciple that God wants us to be. Verse 6 and 7, and when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come out and help. And they did, and filled the boats, and they began to sink. Think back to a time when maybe you were persistent, and through the grace of God, something great happened. Maybe someone was saved from a bad marriage, or maybe from drug abuse. Maybe a money worry was dealt with by a family member or a friend. Maybe it was someone going through depression or grief and just needed someone to listen to them and provide, and you provided that opportunity. Didn't you want to tell the world? The world needs to know these things, as how many times do we hear about the bad and not the good? And remember, it's not about us. It's about what God can do using us. We need to be proud of doing things and tell the world about God and Jesus and the grace and the forgiveness that is available to all. Those good things may seek and find someone that is on the sideline and afraid to join. They may also find someone that maybe we gave up on too soon, but God kept in the game just in spite of our actions. Doesn't everyone deserve the pleasures we have found through our Lord and Savior? In verse 8, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." But if we look at that, the catch was the fish, wasn't it? Or was the greatest part of the catch maybe the fact that he got Simon and he got a few of the other ones? Could it have been Jesus taking Simon Peter, his brother Andrew, the partner James and John? So many times our successes and victories, and even sometimes our problems and issues, are much more than what we see on the surface. It's like that iceberg in the Arctic. 15% of the iceberg above the waterline, but 85% is below. We can't see that. On the surface, a duck in the water glides along smoothly. Under the water, the duck's legs are moving really, really fast, trying to move them along. Many years ago, while I was at TSDC, I went through a program called Basic Mediation Training. The training centered around helping different people address a dispute between them and finding common ground to settle it. The best thing I learned was that the issues at the surface are very seldom the main issue. It was something buried much deeper, like the iceberg example. As a disciple, we sometimes are led to help at different parts of the experience. Maybe it's like a movie where there's several acts and changing storylines. Maybe we're invited to be part of Act 1 or Act 2, where we're assigned to help with a person and start those dominoes falling. But what if we were just part of the middle, where sometimes seems to be insignificant area, but later we realize that that middle is what kept all parts together? We may be also be one of the ones to close out the scene and look like the hero. We know that we are not the hero. We're just filling the role that the director, our God, wanted us to be a part of. Whatever role we play it to the fullest, as a body of work may not happen if we don't do our part. Sometimes God puts us through things to help others on the surface, but under the ultimate goal, he is teaching us or helping us through something we're struggling with, that 85% that's under the surface and not seen. Be open to receive whatever God asks us to be a part of, because God wants only the best for each one of us and each one of us around us. In verse 9, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. In 10, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now you will be catching men." And finally in 11, and then they had brought their boat to the land. They had left everything and followed him. Whether this was their first account or just one of the early accounts with these future disciples, I think much smarter people have to decide that than me. But what I can say is, by reading through this, it was most likely the point when John, when Peter, and a few had to make tough decisions to give up and follow. While I was preparing this, and I know you'd be pretty happy that most of these are going to be pretty short, Orion asked me to include a piece that puts a little personal side to this. I did not grow up in a church. I wasn't unchurched. We weren't considered, we were all felt we were Christians, but it just wasn't a priority that my parents had. As time went on, I started playing church softball, and I played for a church that required me to go to Sunday school at least 2 times a month to be able to play on that team. I did that only because that was the way I could get to play. You know, I didn't feel like I needed it. And I can remember many times that I could set out in the middle of a pasture under a tree drinking a beer and be just as close as anybody in the church could. I didn't know any better. But just fast forward that a little bit. Carla and I get engaged. She's a part of the Church of the Brethren. We talk to the pastor, and he won't marry us unless we meet with him. And it's 2 or 3 times, and I said, well, the wedding's off then, because I'm not going to meet with him. Well, through a little bit of encouragement, Carla said we would, and of course I said, yes, we will, ma'am. But I told her, I said, I will go, but I will only answer questions with a yes and no answer. And I did, and I was pretty rude. But we got through that. Fast forward a little more. We're in Sweetwater, Texas. We started a business that was in construction. Our young girls were starting to grow. I was volunteering and working. Sunday morning was the only morning I had to sleep in. So I chose to do so. Carl and the kids would get ready, and they'd come in, and she learned that she couldn't shame me, so she tried using the kids to shame me. And, you know, I'm sure those were all seeds being planted. But the seeds needed the prayers on top of that. I can tell you that shaming someone probably doesn't work very well. But it's interesting when you look back and see the things, you know, as a church member that maybe has gone their whole life and knows nothing else, this is all familiar place for you. You come in, the pews are great, the people are fine, all the things that we do up here make sense. But when you're not used to that, it scares you. And you talk about, well, we're going to do the Lord's Prayer. Where do you find that? I don't know. I don't know those type of things. I didn't know I was supposed to give money. I didn't know I was supposed to give part of my time. The little things like that that we sometimes forget. And the reason he wanted me to talk about that was help remind us that when we do ask people to do something, we got to remember where they're at. And sometimes it's not the first ask, it's not the second ask, or it's not the third ask. It's someplace down the line where that opportunity might get them in the door. And then somehow we got to keep them in that door. And each one of us are great disciples. God uses us in so many things. What are you being asked to do? Is it leading a Sunday school class? Or maybe volunteering to be an usher captain? Or maybe a lady prayer? Or maybe it's just agreeing to go on a mission trip. But what happens if all of a sudden you're being led to give up everything you do and move to Africa to be a missionary? Or maybe it's time for a job change and God's the one that's behind it. Or maybe it's just as simple as inviting someone to have a life-changing experience through a relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, you won't know until you ask, and you got to do things almost after you ask. There's this little thing called you must set and listen. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't call the prepared. He does prepare the called. Listen to what God is preparing for you to do. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunities you give us. We pray for those on this walk to Emmaus that they are changing lives in every little part of what happens. Remind us that we are sometimes the only face of God, the face of Jesus that someone sees. What does that face look like when we're in a bad mood? What does that face look like when we don't want to be someplace? Give us the strength to be your disciple 24/7, 365. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.